If you came today looking for shepherds and angels, for a babe wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger, I hope you weren't too disappointed by this morning's scripture readings. While not the usual readings that we might associate with Christmas, these readings are just as powerful, are just as important. We hear this morning from the prophet Isaiah that wonderful passage which begins, "How beautiful are the feet of the messenger who announces peace." The prophet is saying to the people that God's promises are about to be realized. God is about to make good for the people. I mean, if you listen to that passage, you can see that the prophet can barely contain his excitement. Amidst the joy of God's promises about to be realized, there is another undercurrent going on. There's a line in that passage that I wonder if it made your ears perk up a bit, because it almost seems a little out of place. The prophet writes, "Break forth into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem." Underneath the praise and joy of the prophet, of God's promise about to be realized, is grief, is devastation. You see, the people to whom the prophet is writing, they have been in exile. They are in the midst of what is known as the Babylonian exile. They were kicked out of their land. They witnessed the ruin of their home in Jerusalem, and they have been wandering. They have been without their home, what they have known and loved for generations. But now, out of the rubble of that destruction, God is about to do something new. These people can break forth into singing because out of what has been shattered, out of broken relationships and shattered dreams and dashed hopes, God is about to restore them to their home. We're not so different than the people of Israel, the people to whom the prophet is writing. We too, especially in these last several years, have seen our fair share of ruins. We know grief, we've known pain, the death of loved ones. We know the hurt of broken relationships, of dashed hopes and shattered dreams. But today, we can break forth into singing because God is doing something new out of those ruins, out of that rubble. Today we can rejoice because the Word was made flesh. Now, each of the four gospel writers tells the nativity story a bit differently. You've got Matthew with his genealogies, and in Matthew, Joseph plays a starring role, and by starring role, I mean he's mentioned a whole 8 times instead of like the 3 in Luke's gospel. You've got Mark. Well, Mark actually skips over the whole nativity altogether. Mark is he begins, you have some words from John, the voice in the wilderness, and then the baptism of Jesus at the, you know, ripe old age of 33 or thereabouts, or 30-ish. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie Mulan, but there's a song in there where it's, you know, early on in the movie, one of the characters sings, you know, "Let's get down to business." Well, that's like the theme song for Mark's gospel. It's the "Let's get down to business" gospel. Then we've got Luke, and we have Luke to thank for the story we associate most with Christmas, with the manger and the angels and the animals and the shepherds. That's all from Luke. And then there's John. Now, some people might say that John's gospel doesn't have a nativity. Only Luke and Matthew do. And to those people, I would say you are wrong. Because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That line which John writes is just a powerful statement of the incarnation as, "And Mary gave birth to her son and laid him in a manger." Whereas Luke sets the nativity story within a historical context, we hear about Emperor Augustus and Quirinius the governor, John sets the nativity into the very beginning of creation. John begins the nativity account before the cosmos are even made. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." There was never a time when the Word did not exist. The Word was always with, and the Word has always been God. And then after the creation of the world, all things coming into being through the Word, you and me and everything that ever was and ever will be comes into existence through this Word. And then, in a particular moment, when humanity needed redeeming, the Word of God stoops down to humanity, taking on the frailty of our human nature, the frailty of our flesh, and becomes man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's a mysterious, magnificent, incomprehensible thing that the divine creator of the universe, the source and author of all life and creation, God, who was previously unknown. I mean, think about those stories from Hebrew scripture where God is on the holy mountain. Think about like in Moses' time, right? When Moses, he goes up the mountain, but anybody else, if they even set foot on the mountain, they would die. God, who was unknowable, unseeable, is now in the incarnation. Knowable and seeable. We can hold God in our hands. There's an ancient saint of the church, a writer from the early church, a theologian named Athanasius. And Athanasius has this wonderful work called On the Incarnation. And in this work, he writes, the divine becomes human so the human can become divine. Now, here's a great thing for your Christmas parties later today. This is called divinization. So you'll impress all of your friends, all of your family, and say, hey, do you know what divinization is? Okay, maybe that's only what I do at parties, but that's, you know. But divinization is the idea that God becomes human, so a human can become divine. God descends to humanity that we might ascend to God. And with that, not only does God just dwell amongst us, God dwells within us. This connection between divinity and humanity places a spark of the divine inside each and every one of us. So this miracle of the incarnation, which we celebrate today, is not just a sort of historical reenactment of something that happened 2 millennia ago. It's something that is happening now. Because God resides in each and every one of us, waiting, knocking at the door of our heart for us to open ourselves to that light of God which has come amongst us once more. That light which has come to transform our lives, to take our broken relationships, our dashed hopes, our shattered dreams, and build something new from the rubble. Invite us into a new way of living and being with the world. As we gather to keep these days of Christmastide, it's up to us to break forth together into singing, because God is doing something new. God has come amongst us once more. It is up to us to be open to what new thing God is building here and now in this community and in the wider world. So this day and always, let us sing together. Let us rejoice. Because the Word was made flesh and dwells among us. Amen.